Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Amy Walter. Over the next few weeks, between now and the start of the next Congress, we're going to be profiling members of the incoming class. Today, we hear from Angie Craig, a Democrat who defeated Republican Representative Jason Lewis in Minnesota's 2nd District. It was an important pickup for Democrats in a swing district that President Trump won by just 1 point in 2016. Craig also joins the group of firsts from Tuesday night. In her case, she'll be the first openly LGBTQ person elected from Minnesota, something that might not have been possible just a few years ago in a swing Midwestern suburb.
You know, this is my second run, and I felt like the first time, it wasn't that I was hiding it, but I wasn't as open about it. And you know, more than anything, voters want authenticity these days. And the second run, I cut an ad that said, you know, my wife Cheryl and I have 4 sons. Those were the first words. And it's almost like I just put it out there. And when I put it out there, just as any other candidate would talk about their family, people were like, oh, okay. And so it really wasn't a deal. And it's fascinating. I mean, none of the local media coverage has even mentioned that I happen to be a lesbian.
During the campaign, a lot of ads were run against you saying you were going to be a Pelosi clone and follow a liberal playbook. When you go to Washington, when you're starting your time there, do you feel like you need to prove your independence from her?
You know, I think I just need to prove that I'm looking out for Minnesota. You know, the Democrats are going to elect a speaker. They're going to elect a leader. And, I'm going to vote for a Democrat for those positions in every single one. What I have already said to a number of folks is I'd like to see more people in leadership from the Midwest. Sherry Bustos has become a friend and a mentor, and I think that she ought to be in leadership in the next Congress. And, I'm going to be looking for who's prioritizing bringing down the cost of healthcare. I'm going to be looking for who's prioritizing infrastructure investment. The 2nd Congressional District had John Klein for a very long time, 20 years. And, we've got a lot of infrastructure needs here that would create economic opportunity. So it's more to me about what priorities are those leaders going to have. And I've said, like a number of the freshman class coming in, that, you know, I'd love to see some transparency around super PAC money. I don't have any illusions that we're going to overturn Citizens United and have a constitutional amendment, although I would support that. It's highly unlikely, as you know. But I certainly would support additional transparency around funding of super PACs, and I think it's critical to democracy.
Now, you didn't talk a lot about Donald Trump in your ads, at least the ones that I saw. Was that on purpose?
You know, I didn't talk a lot about Jason Lewis either, which is really different from my 2016 race. Where Trump is concerned, where the administration is concerned, when someone would bring him up in my own party or otherwise, the way I talk about it is just, look, if there's a good idea that I agree with, I'll support it. Not going to oppose someone or something for the sake of doing so. But if it's important to stand up to the administration based on its policies, I'll do that too. And, you know, an interesting thing, we cut 10 positive ads this cycle, 10. And we thought the path to victory would be standing out by talking about what we're going to run for. I gave voters a little bit more visibility into who I am, not only as a candidate and professionally, but as a person by showing them my wife and our 4 sons on a number of occasions, and told voters in one ad about growing up for a portion of my own childhood without health insurance. I talked about my mom being a single mom and my grandmother going to work in a factory to help support us. And I did have to open myself up to voters. And the truth is, I decided when I ran again, I was, bringing the whole deal this time.
How often did the issue of Russia, the Mueller investigation, the Jeff Sessions fight come up when you were talking to voters?
Hardly at all. It's interesting because after the 2016 election, I made a point to going to labor picnics all summer. In fact, I didn't even file to run until October because I needed to sit down. 40 to 50% of people who traditionally were Obama labor supporters had voted for the president. And, I didn't go as a candidate. I went as a person and truly wanted to understand why they voted for Trump. And when I would have a hamburger and a beer with folks, what they would say is, look, this country screwed up. You know, I mean, I'm getting 1% pay raises every year, and it's not even covering the cost of my, you know, jacked up health care. We're not better off than we were, even though Democrats in 2016 had pointed to all kinds of economic indicators that were, you know, we should all feel like they were better, but people weren't feeling it. And I think Donald Trump tapped into that. So when I ran for Congress this time, what people talked to me about was healthcare. Almost every conversation started with what's going on with the cost of healthcare to their family. Mm. And so we just, you know, that's what people wanted to talk about.
Though it is likely that maybe in the next, who knows how many days or weeks, that there will actually be a report issued. And now you're no longer just a candidate, you're actually going to be a member of Congress when this is happening. So tell me how you are going to address some of these things, like the Mueller report, like the fact that the president has dismissed Sessions and replaced him with a person who has been somewhat critical of the Mueller investigation.
Well, I keep holding out hope that folks from both sides of the aisle will continue to step up and not only protect the investigation, but, you know, once we actually have the investigation and see the results of that, whatever it says has to be taken seriously. The timing of Jeff Sessions' firing, you know, the day after the midterm elections, that's what concerns me the most.
Yeah, what concerns you about that?
Well, this should be a matter of national security, not petty politics. And of course, the replacement has openly criticized the Mueller investigation and can now block the release of information from the investigation. I mean, to me, that's a major setback for transparency and accountability.
And so what should Democrats do about that?
Well, I think we're going to have to fight it. And to me, that's not fighting the administration. That's fighting for democracy. There has been an ongoing investigation for 2 years about potential foreign interference in a United States election. That principle of democracy takes precedent for me over any political concerns. And I sure hope that there are Republicans who at one time, like Lindsey Graham, who had been outspoken about the need to protect the Mueller investigation, I hope they step up and honor their word over the coming
weeks. So that would be the first thing to do, is legislation protecting the special counsel.
That's right.
And if that doesn't work, or if that doesn't occur, then what role do you think that Democrats' oversight should play in all of this?
Well, you know, I'm a freshman member of Congress. I'm sure that leadership will be having a long conversation about that. But, you know, we have a responsibility first and foremost to the country. We need to see what the Mueller investigation turns up.
And do you think they should make the report public then?
Absolutely. Yeah, the American people deserve to know what happened in the 2016 election. It doesn't matter who wins or loses that election. And in terms of, you know, if this were the other side of the aisle and we had won and there was interference in the U.S. election, I would want to know how that unfolded to help inform how do we prevent that from ever happening again.
Well, Angie Craig, thank you so much for joining us.
It's an honor and a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you here as a member of Congress.
Angie Craig is the Congresswoman-elect from Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District.